Here we go. The John Curley, Sherry Elliker show. Sherry, Sherry Elliker and that teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Andrew, are you in tomorrow, Friday?
I'm in the rest of the week.
Okay, good. So let's put together, for those that are listening, we'll do a great big send us your letters for Friday, okay?
A great big one.
Yeah, grab a whole bunch of weird stuff Sherry said. We'll stick all that stuff in for the last couple of weeks, okay?
I see, okay.
All right, got it. You're going to miss that, Jacob.
I think that's your main motivation for doing it, isn't it? It's just leave me out.
It's all right, Truby. Time to get the news. Yeah. Okay. By the way, more people dying now of the flu. About 80,000. It's hard to keep track of the numbers because the way they do these, but I think 60 to 80,000 normally a year die of the flu. Now we have our first death from a child dying of the flu. So the question is, will the governor, because he's still doing this thing, you have to be vaccinated if you want to work in these parts of the government, will they now make, since more people are dying of the flu than of COVID, will they now make it mandatory for you to keep your job to now also have a flu shot? That would make sense, wouldn't it? Let's see if they change it. And all of a sudden, now that's part of it. So, because we know that you get the vaccine, which really doesn't work for COVID. But the governor insists that you get the vaccine or you can't have your job. I assume since now, because we're talking about saving lives, they should make the flu vaccine should become mandatory as well.
It is mandatory, I believe, in certain situations. Like, I think that healthcare workers have to get it. But that's been longstanding, but not everybody else. But to be consistent, yes, if more people are being taken down by the flu, then, yeah, you'd think that they would say, okay, any state worker
mandatory.
Also has to get a flu shot.
Mandatory. Yeah. I don't think in the state of Washington, I don't think healthcare workers had to get the COVID shot. I don't think that was – I think they were exempt from it. But, you know, ferry workers and others like that and driving a plow truck and stuff, you had to have it or you lose your job. So to be consistent, to follow the data that the governor would then say, looks like people are dying of the flu more than COVID. So now mandatory, get the flu shot or get fired. So that would just be consistent. But I don't think that's going to happen. My mind is poisoned, says the 9-year-old. Recalling seeing his mother getting carjacked in broad daylight. When did this happen? Just recently?
Yeah, on November 9th, there was a woman in Tacoma, and she was carjacked in broad daylight, and her son was with her, and it was traumatic. I mean, it was a horrible experience. He saw the whole thing. She told him to run. I think we've got some audio on it.
She spoke with Dory, the victim.
It was Wednesday, November 9th. And me and Nicholas were getting ready to leave for the day. It was a very normal morning. My son and I were just getting ready to leave for work and school. And I walked over to my car and I unlocked it and I put my bag down and I put my key in the ignition and I turned around to help my son. And we were both standing right there at my car and a white Kia Soul came up behind my car and stopped. And this guy got out, and I remember watching him, but it never occurred to me just that anything was wrong. I thought maybe he lived there, he was visiting.
Sure.
And I watched him walk up, and he opened the car door and got in my car. But the car was extremely frosted over quite severely, and so he had to roll down the windows. And just totally out of impulse, I grabbed on to the window frame. And he starts backing out, dragging me with him. And so he dragged me out into the street, and he couldn't see it all. So he backed over a curb, and the right tire, as he did that, hit my right side of my body and hit my lower leg and hit my arm. And I distinctly remember looking at him. I was inches from his face. He wasn't wearing a mask or anything, so I could see him clear as day. And there was this second where he paused, and I honestly thought he was going to get out and walk away. He's just backed over a curb. I'm screaming. I'm literally screaming for help and screaming for Nicholas to run away. And I thought he was just going to get out and walk away. And he looks at me, and I look at him, and then he slams on the gas, and it causes me to lurch forward, and I hit my head into the windshield. and it drags me into the street, and I let go because I just wanted to let go. And I thought it was over, and I'm still screaming. And I watched the car drive away. I thought that was the end of it. But instead, he circles around and comes at me a second time. And I just remember screaming so much for my son to run away because I was so scared that he was going to run into the street, you know, wants to help his mom and that he would get hit. Or I didn't know where the white Kia Soul was. I didn't know if they're going to try and kill me. Are they going to take my son? What's going on? So he comes at me a second time and I just move and he runs away. And my 9-year-old son saw the entire event mere feet away from us. And it was very traumatizing. Yes.
She was. I mean, she's lucky because you'll see the stories, carjack, death, and what normally happens is the person ends up grabbing or holding onto the car, or they're in a seatbelt, they get thrown out of the car, but they're still being dragged. They're dragged as a person is stealing their car. Often they'll steal the cars to use the cars in committing a crime, or just want to drive the car for the day because they just want a car, and they drive it and dump it off somewhere. Or they'll use it to, you know, commit another crime, go somewhere, steal and use that car. And then they know that they're driving a stolen car. But of course, because the law written in the state of Washington doesn't allow the cops to stop, you can now drive a stolen car. My buddy that's still working there for a couple of more weeks and then bye-bye. He told me they get about 5 to 7 driveaways a day where the person is driving a stolen car. They throw the lights on and they just keep right on going because, you know, that's a good law. She went on to describe more of this harrowing experience.
I wasn't able to sleep after we got home from the hospital. I remember distinctly sitting up against the door, my front door, with a knife in my hand, just tears pouring down my face because any noise I heard, how do I know that the carjacker's not coming back trying to use my house key to get into my home? Clearly, he has no problem with violence. Clearly, he has no problem with children being there. And if he's willing to do it in broad daylight, why wouldn't he be willing to come in the middle of the night and, you know, see what he can steal from us?
Yeah. They found the car.
And where was the car and what was the car used for? Just a joyride or what?
They said it was found in Fife. It was filled with stolen merchandise and drug residue. She said all my things had been stripped off. It had been spray painted and they'd thrown out every single possession of ours. I just hope that she's able to provide some, you know, if she saw this person up close, I hope she can do, you know, they can do a sketch or something like that to maybe get the word out. But I mean, this little boy, I mean, imagine that, you know, him having
to Dory talked to the kid, too.
It was very scary for me. I mean, I'm only nine. It's, like, too young for me. It's, like, pretty young. For a nine-year-old kid.
Well, and when you're 9 years old, life should be a little bit more perfect, and because you got lots of time later in life for these harsh things that we all have to deal with in life. But how scared were you as you were watching these bad guys?
I was really scared. It was like my whole body was filled with scaredness. I just wanted to help my mom. I was super scared, but I wanted to do everything I could to help my mom stop him.
Golly.
What a sweet kid.
Yeah, if he could say one thing to the carjackers.
I would say no matter where you are, no matter what time, we are going to find you.
Wow.
Good for him. He's strong. Yeah.
That kid's beyond his years. And I'm sure he had that composure before this happened. But, boy, to see your mom like that, to see caught the vulnerability and to know that your life is hanging on the thread there. So what do you mean they spray painted what? Spray painted the car or spray painted what?
Well, she just said that it had been spray painted. So it sounds like they were, I guess, trying to camouflage the car maybe. And, I mean, but They don't have any suspects. They don't know who these people are.
Never catch them.
I mean, it's been impounded, so you know it's there as evidence. So they'll see what they can find out. But these things often don't get resolved, unfortunately.
You know what's really weird? Having been mugged a number of times, this is the second time I got mugged. The guy is looking right at me. I'm looking right into his eyes. And obviously he sees the terror and the fear in my face. And I remember when I was looking into his eyes thinking, can I connect with him? And it's happening in 100,000ths of a second, right? But your brain is able to process this whole bunch of stuff that goes on when you're looking right into that person's face. They're looking back. And I was just consciously, obviously not a conscious thought, but I was trying to see this guy's, for lack of a better word, like humanity, you know? I wanted to connect with him. This is instantaneously. I'm looking at him with all this fear and just sadness and all of these emotions when this is happening to you. I'm looking right into his face, right into his eyes. And there, you know, that famous line, I forget who said that, you know, I looked into the eyes, Putin had no soul or something. That guy wasn't seeing me. Does that make sense? As a human being, I saw back in his eyes this anger and just beyond what I can possibly describe even right now on the radio. This was a while ago, but trying to have him see me. And well, you don't do this to me. Just, I'll give you the wallet and you can have the stuff, because at that point he already taken it, but I didn't know what was going to happen next. But just for a moment, trying to connect with this other human being here on this planet at this time where both of our lives are intersecting, and hoping that it was just going to be a robbery, but not, you know, a robbery, because there was the stuff, they were taking your stuff and then shooting you because they didn't want any witnesses. And then immediately I remember breaking away, trying not to look into his eyes, hoping that he would then think, oh, the guy's not going to be able to ID me, you know? He won't be able to tell anybody what I look like. So I kind of looked away. But for just a second, I was looking at him like, what are you doing? That's so strange.
Don't you think, though, that when someone is a person that mugs people, I'm sure you weren't the first person that mugged or the last, that they have to be, in order to do that, and in order to just withstand, you know, the fear and the human toll that you're taking on somebody when you're doing that, you have to be so shut down, right? I mean, you have to be cold in a way that you want that stuff more than you could care anything about this person's life or whatever. I mean, that's your only objective. It's nothing else, just to get what you want, and that's it.
Yeah, but life has no value, right? There's the 9-year-old, there's the mom, and the mom's now hanging off the side of the car, banging into the windshield and, you know, falling onto the ground. The person's not stopping to see. I mean, they're singly focused on one thing, which is getting what they want. And taking it from somebody and any force that they can possibly have. I was mugged one time in Boston. I was walking with my friend Bill Martin. It was like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And these two guys were on the other side of the street. They ran from the other side of the street across to our side of the street. So Bill is to my right. I'm on the outside of the sidewalk. And out of the corner of my eye while I'm talking to Bill, I see these two guys running right towards us. And this kid winds up and punches me right in the stomach. Just as I turn, he hit me right in the solar plexus. And I grab my stomach. I remember doing that kind of classic move you see in the movies where you pull both your hands down slowly, expecting to see a bunch of blood come out. Because I thought, well, he must have stabbed me, right? Because the punch felt so weird. And then it knocked the air out of me. And I wasn't falling. I was just sort of stunned and kind of losing part of my balance, and the two of them starts yelling, fall, fall, blanket, blanky, fall, 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 blank, 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 and the other guy is just standing there laughing. I told you you should have hit that blanket of blank in the face. I told you you should have hit him in the face. I told you. I told you. And the other guy's yelling, fall, 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 fall. He's screaming at me. And my friend Bill Martin just sort of standing there. We're both so stunned. And then we find out later on that in order to get into this gang there in Boston, you had to knock somebody out with one punch to get in the gang. And I guess what he had bragged to his, I'm just guessing, that he bragged to his friend, you know, I can knock somebody out with one punch in the stomach. And this guy screaming at me to fall onto the ground, just fall, fall. It was the strangest, most bizarre moment, because then they were laughing and then they just kind of, you know, jogged away.
And they
didn't
take anything?
I remember in the morning, I could see the four, his four knuckles were, you could see the bruises where he had hit me.
Oh.
Yeah. And they just walked away. And my friend Bill Martin, who took karate classes later on, I'm like, where's all the karate, Bill? And he was doing that kind of like weird karate stuff. I guess he was trying to get ready for the one-inch Bruce Lee punch or something like that.
He was like in an Elvis movie when Elvis would just do those fake moves.
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible. What a horrible experience. Like a gang, initiation.
Listen, for that mom, for that nine-year-old, I hope there's some sort of help. There's a counseling, victims counseling or something, because she's going to have this with her for a very, very long time. In most cases, especially go to get in your car, you're always going to be paranoid about where you are. And then for that nine-year-old, that kid, the warning again, because I'm sure those guys that are out there carjacking are listening to Dory all the time.
I would say no matter where you are, no matter what time, we are going to find you.
There you go.
That kid's a great kid. What a smart kid.
There you are. Thanksgiving story. I was trying to get this one in there earlier, Sherry. I was always taking different girls to meet my family. It probably wasn't the best move, but Diana Georgia and I were dating. She was traveling with Anthony Newley doing Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And she was signed up for like 18 months or something. And they would do six cities and then they'd hop on a plane and fly to another one and then another one, another one. It was really a grinding, really hard tour for her. So I said, hey, listen, for Thanksgiving, if you're going to be in the area, come to Thanksgiving dinner at my Aunt Mary's house. That's where, of course, Aunt Seal and the tragic gravy accident occurred because we were all blindfolded. I'll tell that story on Friday. But so I take Diana Georgia and, you know, my dad. Here's where my father starts. So which one are you? Which one are you? Meaning like, so what girl are you?
Whoops.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That makes a girl feel really special.
And my Aunt Mary, who's Sainted Mary, she used to go to church every single day. And she knew that we were, you know, as my mom would say, doing monkey shine. You heard that expression?
No, I haven't. But wouldn't your mom say monkey shine?
No, because if monkey shine stands on its own, but he'd be like, you doing kissy-kissy? Kissy-kissy would be like equivalent to monkey shine. So if you looked up monkey shine in the dictionary, then kissy-kissy would be right next to it.
What? How old were you at this point?
Oh, I was probably 25 or something. I really liked Diana Georgia. And I thought, this kind of person I could bring to the house, and she's just so charming and pretty and was really good with the whole family and joking around and terrific. And my dad says, so where are you flying out of? She goes, Newark. I said, oh, Newark. All right, fine. So my dad said, well, you know, you better leave now with traffic and everything. So from my Aunt Mary's house in Bala Cynwyd to the Newark airport was going to be about maybe 45 minutes straight up Jersey Turnpike, get off 14C, right in there. It's going to be easy. So we're driving. So I keep, but I want to stay and have dinner. And I mean, because it's really going well. So we get in the car and we're driving. And I said, we'll be there in like 35 minutes. And she said, wow, to New York? I said, yeah, Newark. She goes, no, New York. No, you said Newark. No, New York. I said, Oh. Now, for those who don't know, Newark, New Jersey, airport. Easy. Really easy. Straight up, 14C, whoop, come around, right on in there, doop, drop off the girl, you're done, there's Thanksgiving. New York would be JFK or LaGuardia. Not so easy. Now I have completely mistimed when we should have left the house to get to the airport. And at this point, we're 35 minutes from Newark Airport, which I thought we were going to, not New York, which would have been better to know that if you had actually pronounced New York rather than Newark. See the difference? See the problem?
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Was that a little bit of a tense moment when you realized?
Cue the music, Andrew. I'm driving a BMW 535i. It is the advanced driving machine, the ultimate driving machine. And with this, I turned to her and I said, if we need to get to New York Airport, I'm going to have to drive very, very, very quickly. So just please don't say anything. And I'm driving down the road, and it's going as fast as I can. I'm in the right lane and left lane. I'm going around traffic. Now I'm off to the far right. I'm over, like, where the breakdown lane is, and I am hauling ass. And she screams, oh, my God, oh, God, oh, God. I said, shut, just be quiet. I need you to be quiet. I'm very stressed out. Driving through, and I get all the way up to the toll booth. I said to the guy, hey, excuse me. Do you think we can make it? Can we make it to JFK? Can we make it to JFK? And can we make it? Guy's like, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be really hard, the traffic and everything. And I said, how long will it take? How long? He goes, I don't know, like 25 minutes. I was like, oh, my God. And I tear through the toll, and I'm driving through, and I get to JFK, and I'm driving as fast as I can. And she screams, ah! Ah! Like, stop screaming! Stop screaming! She's like, if I miss this flight, this is the only flight to Switzerland. I said, Switzerland? I even don't make it to Switzerland. I haven't had a vacation in 18 years. I said, okay, just one. I'm driving and driving as fast. I'm driving right down lanes. I'm had the high beams flashing all over the place. The car is just heaving. And she's screaming, trying to not to scream and yell, because I'm like, don't scream, don't scream. And I've got hands are knuckled white on the steering wheel. I'm shifting back and forth and tearing around people. I mean, I thought if I get pulled over, I get pulled over, but I got at least to make a chance to make it. I get all the way up, and I stop right there. I drop her off at JFK. I run up, and I give the guy $100. I said, please take her bags. She's going to Switzerland. Please take her bags. And the guy takes the $100 and grabs her bags, and I turn and go, hi, hey, wait, a kiss goodbye. Off she went into the airport. I never saw her again. I go to get into the car, and as I'm walking around the back of the car, I can smell that kind of weird burning smell of the engine and everything else. And as I open the door to get in, I vomit the entire contents of my stomach right there.
Oh, no.
In the front there at JFK, in the loading and unloading, and now at this pace, truly the unloading section of JFK Airport. I vomit the entire Thanksgiving dinner, just like a column of it. I think I even blew it out in sections. There was the stuffing. There were the lima beans with the shaved almonds on top. Everything just right there. Like I hadn't chewed it. Just there.
So
never saw her again. She didn't call me. Nothing.
Do you think it was
with that bag and that $100? And that was it.
Did you ever try to get in touch with her afterwards?
New York. You should say, moral of the story, I'm going to JFK. I'm going to LaGuardia. Right. Not Newark. New York.
And did you ever Newark? Follow up? Did you ever try to get in touch with her?
Yes.
And what was her reason? Was she mad about the drive? Was she mad?
Never got a call. Called. This is the old days when you were an actress. You had an answering service. It was called Bells Are Ringing Answering Service. And like, Bells Are Ringing Answering Service, who would you like to leave a message for? Actress Diana Georgia? Okay. And what's the message? Could you please have her call me in reference to a broken heart? Okay. And is that going to be a cold reading?
No.
Is this a script, a movie, a play? And I said, nope, it's my broken heart. Okay, thank you. And your phone number? I gave the phone number. And that was it. And then I called back a couple. Did she call, get my message? Yeah, I think she did. Bells are ringing, answering service. How can I help you?
Yep.
Nathan Lane used to work for Bells are ringing, answering service. Nathan Lane, the actor?
Of course. Yeah. Well, did you ever look her up on Facebook?
I did.
Nothing. You can't find her. I mean, you've got unsettled business with her.
Yeah, well, like, Jacob?
Yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought maybe you'd left. getting ready. Get your jacket on halfway out the door. Maybe we should try to call her.
Well,
I was searching her name on Facebook. That was why I was distracted with, but I'm not sure I have the spelling right.
So
you could tell me the Diana spelling.
I think it's high time you settle this and find out what happened.
I think she made it to Switzerland, but I'm going to say it was her fault for poor pronunciation.
Right. If you don't enunciate where you need to go, how do you expect to get there?
Yeah.
Newark, New York. I know. I'm surprised that you like Thanksgiving after all that. Like, I would think that would just traumatize you and you just would never.
No.
That's all you could think about.
I had big plans. I was going to marry her. So I could have married her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're better off without her.
Let's get her on the phone. We'll find her or track her.
All right. Still
time. This goes on the list of all the other people that we've ever had to try on the show and never any luck. How's Elon Musk doing now? Is he pretty busy with trying to get him?
Right. Huh? He just got too busy. Okay. He wanted to do it, though.
He's too busy. I saw he went into some closet over there at Twitter, and he found all of these T-shirts and sweatshirts and coffee mugs, hashtag stay woke. He's laughing. Like,
I saw that, too.
And that weird Elon Musk laugh. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Somebody hand me my sink. All right, Sherry, funny girl, funny text message. By the way, I'm so busy reading your text message. I didn't see Jacob's letters have come in yet. You getting the letters?
Yes.
Maybe they'll arrive by the time the mailman finishes his song. Mailman!
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. Bring the mail to your door.
Elon Musk laughing.
You ready, Teeny?
Yes, I am ready, Susan.
All right, here we go. We'll get to letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest.
Okay, Colorado shooting. Miss Jan in the 360 says, wonder how much uproar there would be if a dad took a kid to a strip club or Hooters.
360 says, drag queen events held in public schools and public libraries are not mere matters of individual choice. There's an overarching issue that must be addressed collectively in a sober-minded manner.
Garvin in Seattle says, criminals need their patsies. That way they can keep shaping their narrative. Evil people and politicians don't want these young, sick men arrested because they want to use them.
206, as a gay Republican, I'm tired of the libs blaming Trump and the Republicans.
This is about the ESPN wife joke. 402 says, no, that isn't anything like a yo mama joke. He was basically saying his wife was a cheater and liked texting other men. Keep another man's wife out of the conversation, period.
Oh, boy, Susan.
Oh, boy, Teeny's feeling that one. John Crilly running for office. Hold on, Teeny. You know her name, okay?
I do not know her name.
You do know her
name.
Yes,
you do.
Yes, you do.
I don't believe this. Yes,
Teeny. Jacob,
move the jar. This is a disaster.
Yeah, it is a disaster because you keep doing this to her.
And interrupting. Her name.
Stop it. Shake the glass, Jacob.
I shook it.
Thank you. John Curley running for office, 360. So that's an excellent idea. Curley could take down Murray. Oh, God.
Dennis in Seattle said, did some lady in the produce department say she wants John to run for governor? That would be great. I'll think about it. I might vote for John.
Oh, well, thank you. There's one. Thank you, Dennis. even though Andrew was trying to destroy my career with flatulence. Thanksgiving. Mr. and Mrs. 425 says, should anyone's plans fall through for Thanksgiving, I'd like to extend an invitation to anyone at John Gurley and the Sherry Ellicker Show. Join us for turkey dinner at the Would You Rather household. No.
That's nice.
No, that's yes. We promise to make it weird. Oh, yes, you would.
Turkeys, 253 says, if you've never had a fresh turkey, it will blow your mind. Turkey's not supposed to be salty. All frozen turkeys were injected with salt water, not a fresh turkey. Not a fresh turkey.
Jared in Nebraska. Nebraska? Look at you, Jared, wasting your time in Nebraska. It doesn't cost hardly anything to go kill a wild turkey here in Nebraska. We're all going to be driving out to Nebraska to just slay a bird.
All right. And now it is time for the letter.
Thank you, Teeny. We appreciate that. All right. The letter of the day. Okay. Here we go.
This comes from Brad the Painter. The reason some animals like cats have such abrasive tongues is so they can clean the skin and flesh off their prey. So getting licked to death could be horrific. Slow and agonizing affair. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
That's all she wrote.
That's a letter of the day, huh? Check out the T. That's the letter of the day. Is that right? There? All the letters. It's Brad yelling as hell.
The answer is yes.
All right, then. All right. Let's do another hour. What do you say, huh?
I like that. Yeah.